English Listening Comprehension Test, B2 Level, Valencian Community, 2020. Now, you will hear the instructions for the listening test. You will have time to read all the questions for all the tasks in the exam. At the beginning of each listening, you will hear this sound. You can make notes or write your answers while you're listening. But remember that you will also have time to write your answers at the end of each exercise. Please read the instructions for each exercise carefully. If you have any questions, ask them now, as you will not be able to talk during the listening test. Please, look at task 1. Listen to the story of some haunted castles in England and decide whether the statements are true or false. 0 is an example. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the exercise.
England's glorious history has been steeped in ambition, greed, treachery, and betrayal. Its castle walls have witnessed centuries of bloodshed. The anguished wails of the forlorn still echo through the corridors. Cut off by tragic death, these restless spirits have been trapped in limbo between heaven and hell. They have become the castle ghosts of England. Do you believe in ghosts? I do. Ever since at the age of 6, I ran panting downstairs and said there was a grey lady standing silent outside my bedroom door. I'm not alone. 40% of the English believe in ghosts, and 1 in 7 people claims to have seen one. Spirits continue to haunt us from the dim recesses of a darker history. On the west coast of England's remote Cumbrian region stands Muncaster Castle, where 2 bloody murders triggered a series of strange events that cannot be explained. Residents and guests of the castle also report the distinct sound of thumping on the stairs. Evidence of paranormal occurrences was so strong at Muncaster Castle that the family called in a team of specialists to investigate. On September the 18th, 1993, the experts set up an array of monitoring equipment for a scientific study of the hauntings. They waited for nightfall. At 10:40 p.m., the investigators felt the temperature drop dramatically. A minute later, a vase began shaking. Then a loud thud was heard, followed by 3 raps. The investigators noticed a movement past the door. The team observed so many unexplained events that they reported, it is hard to come to any conclusion other than that Muncaster Castle is inhabited by supernatural energies. No unearthly presence is more powerful than one that haunts Sudley Castle in the southwest of England. Sudley Castle began as an extravagant royal wedding present in the 10th century. It went on to be owned by a succession of kings, including Richard III and Henry VIII. Despite its pastoral beauty, Sudley Castle has a history of otherworldly events, including the chilling discovery of the strangely preserved corpse of a queen. Employees report strange sights and sounds in the castle. The smell of an apple-scented perfume, the frequent forlorn sobs of a child, and the appearance of a tall, beautiful woman in a long green dress. If Sudley's ghosts seem to linger out of duty or longing, that is not the case with our next castle, the Tower of London. For almost 1,000 years, this revered landmark has been at the centre of the grand drama that is English history. Two young boys have been glimpsed playing in the tower. They are believed to be the spirits of two princes, 9-year-old Richard and the heir to the throne, 12-year-old Edward, the victims of a shocking crime. The boys were nephews of Richard III. What is known is that after the death of their father, King Edward IV, the two young princes were put under Richard's protection. Some say it was like assigning the fox to guard the chickens. For the princes stood between Richard and the crown. Richard had his nephews declared illegitimate and thus ineligible for the throne. He then confined them to the tower for their own safety, he said. But suddenly, in the autumn of 1483, the two boys disappeared, never to be seen again. No one knows exactly what happened, but with his nephews out of the way, the last obstacle between Richard and the throne was removed, allowing him to be crowned King of England. In 1674, workmen uncovered a chest. In it were the skeletons of two children. In 1933, these were scientifically examined. From the bone formation and the structure of the teeth, it was concluded they were the skeletons of two boys, a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old, matching the ages of the princes. A frail apparition dwells in a parallel universe, trapped between reality and the beyond. We've encountered some victims of England's long, harsh history. Have we persuaded you that the castle ghosts of England are real? I'm convinced that right now, somewhere, a ghost is preparing to make its nightly rounds, and another haunting will soon be underway.
Now listen again.
England's glorious history has been steeped in ambition, greed, treachery, and betrayal. Its castle walls have witnessed centuries of bloodshed. The anguished wails of the forlorn still echo through the corridors. Cut off by tragic death, these restless spirits have been trapped in limbo between heaven and hell. They have become the castle ghosts of England. Do you believe in ghosts? I do. Ever since at the age of 6, I ran panting downstairs and said there was a grey lady standing silent outside my bedroom door. I'm not alone. 40% of the English believe in ghosts, and 1 in 7 people claims to have seen one. Spirits continue to haunt us from the dim recesses of a darker history. On the west coast of England's remote Cumbrian region stands Muncaster Castle, where two bloody murders triggered a series of strange events that cannot be explained. Residents and guests of the castle also report the distinct sound of thumping on the stairs. Evidence of paranormal occurrences was so strong at Muncaster Castle that the family called in a team of specialists to investigate. On September the 18th, 1993, the experts set up an array of monitoring equipment for a scientific study of the hauntings. They waited for nightfall. At 10:40 p.m., the investigators felt the temperature drop dramatically. A minute later, a vase began shaking. Then a loud thud was heard, followed by three raps. The investigators noticed a movement past the door. The team observed so many unexplained events that they reported, it is hard to come to any conclusion other than that Muncaster Castle is inhabited by supernatural energies. No unearthly presence is more powerful than one that haunts Sudley Castle in the southwest of England. Sudley Castle began as an extravagant royal wedding present in the 10th century. It went on to be owned by a succession of kings, including Richard III and Henry VIII. Despite its pastoral beauty, Sudley Castle has a history of otherworldly events, including the chilling discovery of the strangely preserved corpse of a queen. Employees report strange sights and sounds in the castle. The smell of an apple-scented perfume, the frequent forlorn sobs of a child, and the appearance of a tall, beautiful woman in a long green dress. If Sudley's ghosts seem to linger out of duty or longing, that is not the case with our next castle, the Tower of London. For almost 1,000 years, this revered landmark has been at the centre of the grand drama that is English history. Two young boys have been glimpsed playing in the tower. They are believed to be the spirits of two princes, 9-year-old Richard and the heir to the throne, 12-year-old Edward, the victims of a shocking crime. The boys were nephews of Richard III. What is known is that after the death of their father, King Edward IV, the two young princes were put under Richard's protection. Some say it was like assigning the fox to guard the chickens. For the princes stood between Richard and the crown. Richard had his nephews declared illegitimate and thus ineligible for the throne. He then confined them to the tower for their own safety, he said. But suddenly, in the autumn of 1483, the two boys disappeared, never to be seen again. No one knows exactly what happened, but with his nephews out of the way, the last obstacle between Richard and the throne was removed, allowing him to be crowned King of England. In 1674, workmen uncovered a chest. In it were the skeletons of two children. In 1933, these were scientifically examined. From the bone formation and the structure of the teeth, it was concluded they were the skeletons of two boys, a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old, matching the ages of the princes. A frail apparition dwells in a parallel universe, trapped between reality and the beyond. We've encountered some victims of England's long, harsh history. Have we persuaded you that the castle ghosts of England are real? I'm convinced that right now, somewhere, a ghost is preparing to make its nightly rounds, and another haunting will soon be underway.
Now you have 1 minute to check your answers. Please look at the second exercise. You are going to listen to some information about parkour. Choose the best answer A, B or C according to what you hear. There is only one correct answer for each statement. Zero is an example. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the questions.
Now, if you were to walk through Preston City Centre and you saw a group jumping over walls and scaling cenotaphs, you'd be forgiven for thinking this was a group being a nuisance. But now the UK has recognised parkour as an official sport and, despite its criticisms, could be on the way to receiving Olympic glory. Elizabeth Baines visited the infamous Street Monkeys this afternoon.
If you've paid a visit to Preston City Centre in the last 7 years, you'll have almost definitely seen these guys launching and backflipping around town. To an untrained eye, these are a gang just messing around and maybe even causing a bit of a nuisance. But if you look a little closer, you might just change your mind. Beyond the bin leaps and tree launches are a group of fearless athletes who now might get the chance to prove that they are just that.
You've got to be quite determined in what you do. You've got to be confident in yourself. To us, it's not competitive. We don't talk about it as a competitive sport. To us, it's more of a lifestyle. It's more coming along and doing what you've got to do. It's not about being better than anyone else. It's about being your best and developing yourself, but also developing other people as well.
It first started across the channel with a group of French friends determined to prove their physical and mental strength. Over a decade later, and parkour is now estimated to be exercised by almost 35,000 people, and now the Olympics could just be a leap away.
Parkour is kind of defined as getting from A to B in the quickest and most efficient way. A sport that has been developed over quite a long period of time. It was done, if you look at sort of Jackie Chan movies and things like that, he was doing it.
Parkour has long faced criticism and its athletes have been linked with antisocial behaviour.
I think if you come and talk to some of the parents of the kids that we've worked with, that we've worked in the schools with and things like that, they will say completely different. You know, we have really helped some young people develop and become more focused at school by doing what we do here. It just means that more people look at it as a less antisocial thing or not antisocial. It opens up funding, and one of the problems we've had is when we've been approaching schools, it hasn't been a recognised sport, so they have no funding for it. They can't spend their money on that. So it means that there's funding available from the government, there's funding available from Sport England, and it just opens it up to a wider audience of people.
But even with what's been described as a groundbreaking moment for the sport, scepticism over safety hasn't been far behind. With tumbling and stunts using urban landmarks as their stage, there are growing concerns over the risks involved.
In terms of danger, it's not more dangerous than any other sport. You know, if you look at football, you look at competitive sports, we're not trying to be better than anybody else. We're not trying to beat anybody. It's just about your own progression, so your own ability. It's groundbreaking that it's now seen as a sport and it's recognised, but in terms of people think it's a new sport, it's actually come a long way and developed quite a long way. Yeah.
So, next time you get a street monkey flying over your head, bear in mind that they could have what it takes to be a future Olympic gold medalist. Elizabeth Baines, That's Lancashire in Preston.
Now listen again.
Now, if you were to walk through Preston city centre and you saw a group jumping over walls and scaling cenotaphs, you'd be forgiven for thinking this was a group being a nuisance. But now the UK has recognised parkour as an official sport and, despite its criticisms, could be on the way to receiving Olympic glory. Elizabeth Baines visited the infamous Street Monkeys this afternoon.
If you've paid a visit to Preston city centre in the last 7 years, you'll have almost definitely seen these guys launching and backflipping around town. To an untrained eye, these are a gang just messing around and maybe even causing a bit of a nuisance. But if you look a little closer, you might just change your mind. Beyond the bin leaps and tree launches are a group of fearless athletes who now might get the chance to prove that they are just that.
You've got to be quite determined in what you do. You've got to be confident in yourself. To us, it's not competitive. We don't talk about it as a competitive sport. To us, it's more of a lifestyle. It's more coming along and doing what you've got to do. It's not about being better than anyone else. It's about being your best and developing yourself, but also developing other people as well.
It first started across the channel with a group of French friends determined to prove their physical and mental strength. Over a decade later, and parkour is now estimated to be exercised by almost 35,000 people, and now the Olympics could just be a leap away.
Parkour is kind of defined as getting from A to B in the quickest and most efficient way. Sport that has been developed over quite a long period of time. It was done, if you look at sort of Jackie Chan movies and things like that, he was doing it.
Parkour has long faced criticism and its athletes have been linked with antisocial behaviour.
I think if you come and talk to some of the parents of the kids that we've worked with, that we've worked in the schools with and things like that, they will say completely different. You know, we have really helped some young people develop and become more focused at school by doing what we do here. Just means that more people look at it as a less antisocial thing or not antisocial. It opens up funding, and one of the problems we've had is when we've been approaching schools, it hasn't been a recognised sport, so they have no funding for it. They can't spend their money on that. So it means that there's funding available from the government, there's funding available from Sport England, and it just opens it up to a wider audience of people.
But even with what's been described as a groundbreaking moment for the sport, scepticism over safety hasn't been far behind. With tumbling and stunts using urban landmarks as their stage, there are growing concerns over the risks involved.
In terms of danger, it's not more dangerous than any other sport. You know, if you look at football, you look at competitive sports, we're not trying to be better than anybody else. We're not trying to beat anybody. It's just about your own progression, so your own ability. It's groundbreaking that it's now seen as a sport and it's recognised, but in terms of people think it's a new sport, it's actually come a long way and developed quite a long way. Yeah.
So, next time you get a street monkey flying over your head, bear in mind that they could have what it takes to be a future Olympic gold medalist. Elizabeth Baines, That's Lancashire in Preston.
Now you have 1 minute to check your answers. Please, look at the third exercise. You'll hear part of a program in which they talk about jobs for teenagers. Listen to the speaker and match the jobs to the descriptions. Zero is an example. There are two extra descriptions which do not match any job. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the exercise.
Highest paying jobs for teenagers. Let's start with summer jobs for teens.
Example.
Working the phones. What if you don't have any kind of special academic talent? U-Haul says if you are 16, have a USB headset, and a decent internet connection, you can work for them as a seasonal center sales reservation agent. You'll be helping customers on the phone from your house. You'll start on $10 an hour and be paid throughout your 4-week training.
1.
Tutor. This could be a summer job, but it could also be a regular part-time job. You obviously must be talented to earn the big bucks. But if you can show some acumen for tutoring and have a very good educational background, a young tutor can rake in $30 to $40 an hour. It's likely that 18-year-olds will get the higher wages. But if you're talented at a particular subject and you can help someone else, there's no reason someone younger couldn't earn some good money. You could also do this through websites such as Enroll or SameSpeak, teaching English. But the pay isn't as good as sitting down with someone in your own private lesson.
2.
Caddy. Forbes tells us that you can start caddying at just 14 years old. It might help to be a golfer yourself, of course. But if caddies are in demand and you know a little bit about golf, maybe you could land this job if you are presentable and fairly fit. We're told that if you carry 2 bags around the course over 18 holes, you get around $120, and it usually takes about 4 hours to complete a round. But that $120 for staying in shape, if you walk the course, and watching a beautiful game, could be much more as you'll be getting tips, and golfers on some courses are certainly not short of cash.
3.
Landscaping. While some landscaping work requires a certain degree of skill and experience to be left alone doing it, teens will be allowed to learn on the job or can be hired to do the hard labor. The average wage when landscaping with a company for a teen is about $12. But why not set up your own and start mowing all those lawns in the neighborhood? The Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us the median wage for a residential lawn mowing right now is $13.31 per hour. Forbes says it's closer to $20, but you must know that you'll be spending some cash on fuel and maintenance. You'll need a mower, and the folks in the neighborhood will have to trust you somewhat before they let you loose on their garden.
4.
Lifeguard. If all that sounds like too much hard work, you could always become a lifeguard. You can start this job when you are 15. You'll probably need to have a background check, be able to meet all the physical requirements set by the American Lifeguard Association, and be certified by the American Red Cross in first aid. This job usually pays about $9.25 an hour to start. And you might remember that it's not all about sitting around the pool or at the waterfront. You could also be asked to pick up trash throughout the day and do other cleaning or maintenance jobs. You can earn more cash if you're experienced, and you might get as much as $16 an hour.
5.
Float away. What about being a lifeguard on a cruise ship and sailing the high seas? We must say that 18 is the minimum age for the jobs we looked at, but if you're willing to get on board, you can travel and most of the money you make is saved. One website writes, "These positions pay between $600 and $950 per week. You really don't need any experience for these jobs. You might work 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and you might get homesick, but when you do get home after the summer, you'll have cash in the bank."
6.
Taking care of animals. You could become a pet sitter or dog walker in the U.S. as a teenager. You could either go through an agency or just set up by yourself. The Guardian in the UK says dog walkers earn a fifth more than the average UK salary, but work less than half the average hours. The newspaper also says it can be hard work, with the dog walker often doing 197 walks a month. That's a lot of walking, but imagine how good that is for your health. It's like being paid to exercise.
7.
How about being a referee? You'll probably be doing kids' games, but there's no shortage of them. Of course, you'll need to know the sport inside out, but that's not so unusual for some young sports fanatics. The wage all depends on the location and what teams are involved. It can be a tough job, though. In 2018, one report in the UK media talks about a 15-year-old referee who, during a game, was subjected to abusive, intimidating, disrespectful, and very inappropriate language by the other team's coach and training staff. That was an adult amateur game, so he could have been paid anywhere from $26 to $52 for that game, according to numbers given by the Mirror newspaper. Maybe the abuse was worth it.
5. Now listen again.
Highest paying jobs for teenagers. Let's start with summer jobs for teens.
Example.
Working the phones. What if you don't have any kind of special academic talent? U-Haul says if you are 16, have a USB headset, and a decent internet connection, you can work for them as a seasonal center sales reservation agent. You'll be helping customers on the phone from your house. You'll start on $10 an hour and be paid throughout your 4-week training.
1.
Tutor. This could be a summer job, but it could also be a regular part-time job. You obviously must be talented to earn the big bucks. But if you can show some acumen for tutoring and have a very good educational background, a young tutor can rake in $30 to $40 an hour. It's likely that 18-year-olds will get the higher wages, but if you're talented at a particular subject and you can help someone else, there's no reason someone younger couldn't earn some good money. You could also do this through websites such as Enroll or SameSpeak, teaching English, but the pay isn't as good as sitting down with someone in your own private lesson.
2.
Caddy. Forbes tells us that you can start caddying at just 14 years old. It might help to be a golfer yourself, of course, but if caddies are in demand and you know a little bit about golf, maybe you could land this job if you are presentable and fairly fit. We're told that if you carry 2 bags around the course over 18 holes, you get around $120, and it usually takes about 4 hours to complete a round. But that $120 for staying in shape if you walk the course and watching a beautiful game could be much more as you'll be getting tips. And golfers on some courses are certainly not short of cash.
3.
Landscaping. While some landscaping work requires a certain degree of skill and experience to be left alone doing it, teens will be allowed to learn on the job or can be hired to do the hard labor. The average wage when landscaping with a company for a teen is about $12. But why not set up your own and start mowing all those lawns in the neighborhood? The Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us the median wage for a residential lawn mowing right now is $13.31 per hour. Forbes says it's closer to $20, but you must know that you'll be spending some cash on fuel and maintenance. You'll need a mower, and the folks in the neighborhood will have to trust you somewhat before they let you loose on their garden.
4.
Lifeguard. If all that sounds like too much hard work, you could always become a lifeguard. You can start this job when you are 15. You'll probably need to have a background check, be able to meet all the physical requirements set by the American Lifeguard Association, and be certified by the American Red Cross in first aid. This job usually pays about $9.25 an hour to start. And you might remember that it's not all about sitting around the pool or at the waterfront. You could also be asked to pick up trash throughout the day and do other cleaning or maintenance jobs. You can earn more cash if you're experienced, and you might get as much as $16 an hour.
5.
Float away. What about being a lifeguard on a cruise ship and sailing the high seas? We must say that 18 is the minimum age for the jobs we looked at, but if you're willing to get on board, you can travel and most of the money you make is saved. One website writes, "These positions pay between $600 and $950 per week. You really don't need any experience for these jobs. You might work 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and you might get homesick. But when you do get home after the summer, you'll have cash in the bank."
6.
Taking care of animals. You could become a pet sitter or dog walker in the U.S. as a teenager. You could either go through an agency or just set up by yourself. The Guardian in the UK says dog walkers earn a fifth more than the average UK salary, but work less than half the average hours. The newspaper also says it can be hard work, with the dog walker often doing 197 walks a month. That's a lot of walking, but imagine how good that is for your health. It's like being paid to exercise.
7.
How about being a referee? You'll probably be doing kids' games, but there's no shortage of them. Of course, you'll need to know the sport inside out, but that's not so unusual for some young sports fanatics. The wage all depends on the location and what teams are involved. It can be a tough job, though. In 2018, one report in the UK media talks about a 15-year-old referee who, during a game, was subjected to abusive, intimidating, disrespectful, and very inappropriate language by the other team's coach and training staff. That was an adult amateur game, so he could have been paid anywhere from $26 to $52 for that game, according to numbers given by the Mirror newspaper. Maybe the abuse was worth it.
Now you have 1 minute to check your answers. This is the end of the English Listening Comprehension Test, B2 Level, Valencian Community, 2020.